You're listening to this week's episode of Macquarie Street Matters, a podcast about the personalities and events in the New South Wales Parliament here in Sydney with Alistair Hinskins. Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome Robin Preston, the member for Hawkesbury, as my guest on Macquarie Street Matters this week. Welcome, Robin.
Good to be here.
Robin, you've been in Parliament now since 2019, but you've had a much greater and longer engagement with politics than just being a Member of Parliament. You were 10 years as a councillor, including 2 years as Deputy Mayor.
Actually ended up to be 12 years because I stayed on a little later after I was elected.
Yes, you were allowed to stay another two. Yeah. Yeah, so 12 years. And you've been a member of the Liberal Party. I think Charlie Lynn suggested you join the Liberal Party many years ago.
Since 2000.
So you brought a great deal of experience to the role of being a state member of parliament for Hawkesbury. How have you found it now, just over 4 years later?
Look, 4 years later and 18 pre-selections later, I'd like to think I give people hope in never giving up. And it's been a real journey for me. And I think collectively my life and where that's taken me brings me to make decisions that I know will impact people, hopefully in a positive way. And that 12 years on council taught me advocacy and engagement with stakeholders as well. So I think that was a really good apprenticeship too.
Yeah. Now, in your inaugural speech, the thing that really comes through is your love of family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said, you know, many beautiful things about those who are close to you. But unfortunately, you had a tragedy relatively early in your life because your father died when you were 17. That must have been pretty tough, and tough on your mother too, with three children.
And she never married again. She said she'd never find anyone to take his place. And to this day, she's still at home, loving us as a beautiful mum. And I draw my inspiration from her. She is a rock for me. And she's raised us, self and two brothers. So together, I guess we've all helped each other and supported each other along the way in life.
Now, I think you had an expression for how the Hawkesbury is the home of the tradie or something.
Land of the tradies.
Land of the tradies.
Absolutely. Bligh Park especially.
So you've got great experience of that. And your father was also a small business person as well. And you were steeped in, I guess, the values of independence, hard work, and never being able to take your economic welfare for granted.
Totally. And also, I think freedom of choice and the right to worship as well. They're all part of the values I see as a conservative and the principles that I think I like to live by.
So, Robin, what made you think of a career in politics?
I have to always reflect back to a room I was at as a guest, and the speaker was the mayor, and I was in the Hillshire Council area. And as I stood there in an area that is very much a blue ribbon Liberal seat, I'm listening to a Labor mayor. And I thought, why is it that we have a Labor mayor leading the way when it's... And then I realised there's conversations at the back end that if you vote for me, I'll vote for this. And I thought, I don't want to be in a room where my values aren't reflected and the community's. And someone said, well, what are you going to do about it? And I thought, well, I'll put my hand up. You don't just stand there and complain. You do something about it. So I ran for council and the rest is history, I guess.
Well, that's fantastic. That's a good story. And, of course, coming into state parliament, I'm assuming that you also want to make a big contribution to not only your local area but also our great state. You mentioned in your inaugural speech that the Northwest Metro had just become operational, I think, the week before you gave your inaugural speech here in State Parliament. How has that changed your area, having that incredible piece of infrastructure?
Look, it's been a game changer. It's actually given people choices in how they travel, because before then it was normally a 2 to 4 car family per household. Now people can pop on a train into the city, move about. And, of course, we've got metro connections that the Liberal Party as a government have connected to, and very soon we'll see those ribbons being cut too.
Robin, I actually went to the Hawkesbury Showground when your predecessor Dom Perrottet was the member back in 2015, and it was for me, a bit of an eye-opener just how big those distances were. But with a metro going every 4 or 5 minutes or so, it must make the ease of movement for the people that live in the Hawkesbury incredibly improved by having that metro.
Well, look, Hawkesbury's a big area. It's over 3,000 square kilometres in territory. And so right out at, say, Richmond, where the line stops, the regular line, they only get about once every 30 minutes. So they would drive to Tallawong Station or Rouse Hill to get that fast connector. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to look at connecting even better there with perhaps a park and ride. I wanted to do that ages ago, but then, sorry, we had 7 floods in 4 years and we were focused more on rehabilitation of land, livestock, people's properties and people and their homes. Mm. So that's been parked while we look at the priorities for our community.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about the flooding in a minute, but the metro is an incredible piece of engineering. It was delivered early and I think
below budget as well.
$1 billion below budget. So it was a great piece of infrastructure delivery. The other thing that you mentioned in your inaugural speech was the PCYC that was about to commence being built. I think you just recently were part of it being opened.
What an exciting day that was. It was a culmination of a vision, and I know that I was there when Dom Perrottet, who was the member for Hawkesbury at the time and treasurer, sat in a room with local community groups, with the PCYC groups, council and Rotary, and together collectively they pitched the idea of a PCYC in Hawkesbury, which was pretty unheard of. We'd not had that sort of big vision before. And Dom said, I like that. I'm going to take that and run with it. And so here we are just in the last month. We actually had everyone come together, police groups, all of us there to see this as a reality. It's wonderful to see. $13 million later.
There's such an incredible community asset, the PCYCs, aren't they? I had a similar experience where in 2015, I think shortly after I was elected, we moved the first sod on the Hornsby Keringai PCYC. Mm. And of course it was completed some years ago now. But they're fantastic facilities. They're a great place for young people to go and also for the police force to mentor some in need youth and give them some structure and some, I guess, some adult role models in their lives.
And some of them don't have that at home. And the other thing is getting people there, getting young people to the site. So I wrote to the Premier Gladys Berejiklian at the time and I said, Gladys, we really need a Premier's grant to get a bus. And the community raised the balance of money. And so we've got an actual bus that is part of that PCYC locality and it picks kids up from all around Hawkesbury that normally can't get there and brings them in as often as we can just to connect with very important links and mentors in life. And I've got to say, I've had mentors in life and they've really made a difference to how I see life going forward and what I've achieved.
And, of course, the quality of your mentoring at a young age really reaps great benefits, it seems to me. You can often see the people that are around people who are excellent in their youth and they tend to flourish in a very positive way as well. Have you had a chance to use the cardio room yet?
Not yet, but I'm waiting in line.
I must say the fit-out that they put is
pretty impressive, isn't it?
It's top-notch equipment and it's absolutely fantastic.
And I've got to say, some people think that Hawkesbury used to be the forgotten place. It's not now. We've got some major facilities there now. And there's this real sense of pride for the community.
Well, you have an absolutely beautiful area. And I had the opportunity when I was Minister for Sport to come out and announce some funding for assistance with some of your sporting infrastructure. Yep. And sporting infrastructure typically in peri-urban and regional areas like yours are typically on floodplains and so they're quite susceptible. That's where the cheaper land is. They're quite susceptible to flooding and you'd had quite a lot of damage done to your facilities and your infrastructure in general. It must have been heartbreaking to have the recent floods and that to happen again.
And the contribution that you announced went to resurrecting a clubhouse, for example, on Benson Lane at Richmond. Mm. And I've got to say that went up to the second story with the last floods as well. So, you know, there's that constant pummeling of people's mental health as well, not only the assets but the individuals that have to pick themselves up and clean up and get up and running again.
And when I came out to your electorate, I guess it was, what, a bit over 12 months ago, maybe 18 months ago, the people that we met, absolutely wonderful people, all the people involved in all your sporting clubs, they seem pretty resilient, but it must be tough on your community to have the number of flood events you've had in such a short period of time.
Especially for people that are new to the area. I'll talk to old-timers who've been there for decades and they get it. And they bunker down in their property and they have enough milk and bread and they stay there when the rivers cuts off the bridges. Look, I guess the best part of my job is the people I look after. They are amazing. Hawkesbury people will pick others up and help them get on their way. We've had to do that time and time again. And with the recent floods, we've had a lot of practice in doing that. And, you know, we'll just come back as much as we can.
Now, there's a tension between Warragamba Dam having enough water in it to be able to have an abundant water supply for Sydney and also for it to be able to give some barrier to these flood events. One of the suggested ways, which was coalition policy, was to raise the dam level so that not that the dam would then hold more water, but that that higher level of the dam would then be able to act as a buffer in these rain events. It must be very disappointing to you and your community to hear that that's not supported by Chris Minns and the New South Wales Labor Party.
Look, it is, because it gave people hope. As you said, when you raise the Warragamba Dam wall, and it's not going on top of the existing wall, the construction was to be at the front of that wall. I want people to understand that. That buys time. If you've got a non-stop rain period, 18 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours can give you a lot of saving grace down in those lowlands. A turf farmer, for example, we've lost over $70 million in revenue in turf with this last flood. If that rain is sitting there for over 4 days, they lose their crop, they lose their turf. If that can run off faster and all be held back, that saves their whole livelihood. So you've got to understand the benefits of raising that Warragamba Dam wall. And it's not, as some would misconstrue, about wanting development. We've got 70,000 people below that dam wall now that need protection. Think of all the infrastructure that's damaged, the livestock we lose, people's homes, caravans. You know, we've got really vulnerable people that live in cheaper housing, such as on caravan land. Sure, it's great to be able to go out and fish in the afternoon when you come back from work, but those people lose everything when there's a flood. And I think there's no solution that I'm hearing from this government about what the alternative is. I'm hearing nothing at all.
I must say, Robin, my father's from the Netherlands. A lot of the Netherlands is more than 8 metres below sea level. And yet the dikes and the system of dams are able to protect people. At the end of the day, it's a question of well-structured investment in infrastructure, whether it be raising the dam wall or other measures to protect the infrastructure and the people's homes that Correct. Are being impacted. It seems to me, with the frequency now of these events, it's a false economy to do nothing, which is what Chris Minns is effectively suggesting.
And think of the cost of repairs of everything that's damaged time and time again. So how do you walk away from that and not offer people in the valley there any solution at all? And you've still got hard surfaces running off places like Marsden Park with new roads, with guttering, roof surfaces. And guess what? It all runs into South Creek and that floods Hawkesbury Valley. So I think we have to look at smart solutions. It's a suite of measures. Whether we look at holding less water in that dam as well. I have market gardeners, farmers ringing me. That they're better forecasters than any of the usual ways. And the anxiety that they hold when they see that water level at 96%, 100% and nothing's being let out, that creates great angst for them as well. And I can't do anything about that because Minns has the power to change this, and I wish he'd come to the table and talk to us.
And the other thing is that the area that you represent is an area that has a significant impact on the rest of Sydney and New South Wales. So the turf farming is incredibly important. I know that there are various different sporting projects that were delayed because they couldn't get the turf from your area because of the floods. You mentioned the market gardeners and so on. It has an impact on food supply to Sydney and so on. So it's not just the dollars and cents. It's not just the impact on people's lives. It's actually, you know, there are very broad-ranging impacts from doing nothing, it seems to me.
And look, I've got to also let you know, on the weekend that it flooded just recently, we had the India versus Australia World Cup tournament with polo, which was washed out. We had 700 horses in the district that had to be removed. So, you know, there's opportunities for tourism here that were smashed as well.
Yeah. Well, that, look, all of that says that something needs to be done. The do-nothing approach of Chris Minns doesn't seem to be a credible policy position for him to take. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the developments around Hawkesbury Hospital.
Yes.
Now, I think for some time, St John of God have run that hospital. It's a 200-year-old hospital, is that right?
Look, we've had a hospital in Hawkesbury for 200 years. It's been at some different sites over that time. But the St John of God Healthcare won't be renewing the contract at the end of June. So from the 1st of July this year, New South Wales Health will step in and run and operate the hospital. But what's lacking is the consideration of our workers there, our healthcare workers, from cleaners to nursing staff to surgeons, anaesthetists, all of them collectively look after us. And they've done it so well with the Black Summer bushfires of 2019, 2020, with the floods that we've experienced. I had nurses sleeping on site so that they could be there for their next shift because they couldn't get home because it was flooded. There was no way of getting access to the other side of the river and they lived over there. So, you know, you've got a dedicated team of workers there and they've been so disrespected in the negotiations going forward with this. Their long service leave and annual leave look like they're going to be paid out. Now, that's a massive tax blow in a financial year. And what happens then going forward? You start with an empty slate when you start with New South Wales Health. So I'm fighting for these workers to make sure they're respected, to make sure that their annual leave and long service leave is carried over. They're still going to be there. Some people have been there 30 years plus. So why are we disrespecting these workers and not honouring that? So I'm calling on Premier Minns to step in and make sure that if legislation needs to change, change it. These people have earned our respect and they need to be looked after.
And I'm assuming, Robin, because of all the trials and tribulations with the floods in your area, people like your health workers, people like the police, the SES and so on, your community would have an extra special regard for them and how they've been able to help the community. So it must feel like a real blow that they're not properly being respected, as you say.
Absolutely. And these healthcare workers are also from the Nepean area as well. And I'm not hearing other members of parliament in that area calling out the Premier and the Health Minister to do something about this. I really wish they would. I did get a letter from the member for Penrith, from Karen McKean, and she has supported me as well in this. So it's great to see two MPs coming together. But there needs to be a lot more done.
I must say, I don't understand why they don't do what you're asking, because if they're going to be paid out, clearly the money is there. All the money needs to be done is just transferred over to state government, as you do when there's a buying and selling of a business.
You would think so.
And then the money sits there and then their entitlements accrue. Mm-hmm. It's a particular blow for them in a cost of living crisis to have a tax event where they're paid money that they don't want immediately and that they'd rather get at a time when it would be more advantageous.
And the flow on also with their childcare benefits, that's impacted, they could lose that as well. And the result of a representation that I made to the Minister came back through Dr. Holland, the Parliamentary Secretary for Health, and his advice was, I'd suggest they seek a financial advisor to see how they'd manage it. That's not a solution.
No, it's not. And it's a really abrogation of responsibility. Strange from a government that talks such a big game about caring for workers and particularly health workers.
I'm not hearing it here. Why is that? Why is that line of delineation? You know, they fought for the teachers, they fought for the paramedics. What about our health workers in Hawkesbury Hospital? And the other thing is, I made a representation and made a speech in Parliament on paid parking. We don't want paid parking in Hawkesbury Hospital. And I'm pleased to say that I did get a response in writing, which I will hold to account this government, that they have no intention of doing that.
Excellent. We'll keep fighting for those essential workers. Keep up the great work. I think we're so lucky to have you, not only as a member for Hawkesbury, but you're also the deputy leader of the party in the lower house. You're doing great things. Thanks so much for joining me on Macquarie Street Matters this week, Robin.
Thanks, Alistair.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Macquarie Street Matters, and I look forward to you joining us again next week.